We should know that what Hollywood portrays as these cute little storks that, you know, have Stork Planet and then they drop the babies on the parents' doorstep, that's not real, right? We all know that. We can establish that right now, right? Though it's a cute movie, my kids like it, I like it. It's great. If you haven't seen it, it's cute. Anyway, but we are all here for a reason. Every single one of us is here for a purpose. And the cool thing is, God knew you. Let's read in Jeremiah 1:5. It says, and this is God speaking, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. This is the thing. Before he created the world, he knew us. He knew you. He knew that Ramona would be sitting here on the second row. He saw it. He knew that David would be sitting there, and he knew he wouldn't have hair on his head. He knew. He knew the struggles you would go through. He knew the trials you would go through. He knew the things that would take you from one place to another place in your life. He knew. And we're not getting into, well, if he knew, why didn't he change some of that stuff? No, that's something we can save and ask God when we get to heaven, though I don't think we're really going to care at that point. He also knew the victories that we would experience in our life. He knew, and he had a purpose and a plan. And too many times, we get in a place where, you know, sometimes we ask God innocently, God, what's your plan for me? And we're truly being, you know, pure about that question. But other times we're like, God, what were you thinking? Why do you have me here? I would be lying if I said I hadn't asked that question before. But he knows. And it's up to us to trust him that he's got the purpose, he's got the plan, and obey his voice. Amen? So before the creation of the world, he knew us. And he created us in his image. Now, when we talk about the way he created us and the way he brought us here, we all know God brought us here through a woman. Now, of course, there was a man that had to, you know, contribute. But we came through a woman's womb, from a woman's womb. So that's why we honor our mothers. Now, their labor, the pain they went through, whether you were raised by your birth mom or an aunt or a grandmother or an adoptive parent, you did come from a woman. So, and you honor that. You know, you can honor that woman if you choose to, if they didn't raise you, but you can honor anybody that raised you, anybody that's a mother to you. Sorry, I get excited and then I start coughing. But, you know, let's talk about how God had a purpose for each of our lives. When he created us all individually and differently. Brent said a couple of weeks ago that not one person on earth has the exact same fingerprint. You can look at twins and you can say, well, they could be identical twins. And there may be, when you look at them, you know, just at a distance, you might go, yeah, they look exactly alike. But they've got different fingerprints. And really, if you get a little closer, you might see maybe a scar on a forehead of one of them. And maybe, you know, there's a different a color streak in their hair. There is something different about them. Not one of us was created exactly like another. In fact, I wonder if the very hairs on our head that we are told are numbered, if there's anybody that has the exact same amount of hairs on their head. You know, again, another question we could ask God. But when we talk about creation and how things were made individually, we were made individually, we can look at a couple of different things here. When an artist, such as a potter or somebody that creates glass, when they create, they may create something that looks identical to another. Now imagine, if you will, that this vase and this vase were the same color. Okay? Put on your filter sunglasses, and they're pink because it's Mother's Day and we're going to do pink. And they're purple and pink. They look very similar. But imagine that they are the exact same color. Now, you might look at these and go, well, yeah, they're exactly the same. But if you get closer, these vases were created differently, maybe a similar process, but there might be an air bubble in this one in a different place than what is in the other one. You go, they're identical. It's not like when an artist creates, and David Gillespie will tell you, he's a painter. He does not make the exact same painting every time. It may look very similar if somebody says, I want two of that, right? But the second time he does it, he might go, I want to just put a little different stroke right over here. So when you're looking at a wall next to it, you can't notice the difference, but if you get closer. So that's how God has created us. Now let's look at something else, another piece of art. A potter, when they create, in one of these days, I am going to do a message, an illustrated sermon, and I say one of these days. It might be a long time because I have to perfect the craft, but with a potter's wheel up here. Could you imagine? I'm afraid clay would be going on everyone, but at this stage of the game. But when a potter creates a vase or a something, a bowl or whatever, they use their hands, okay? So in the Bible, God is referred to as the potter. Jeremiah 18:5 says, then this message from the Lord came to me, family of Israel, you know that I can do the same thing with you. You are like the clay in the potter's hands, and I am the potter. This message is from the Lord. So when a potter creates a bowl, a vase, a goblet, whatever they create, not one of that, there might be a little flaw, it might be intended. When you look at it again, same thing. When you look at it next to it, they may look the same, but if you look closer, there's something different. I'm trying to get across to everybody today that when God created us, he created us individually and with a purpose. There's a reason we are here on this earth. And there are a lot of times we really do, like I said before, we might question. We might question what our purpose is. But I want to look at some scriptures and some examples in the Bible of mothers in the Bible who raised some great men. And here's the thing. It wasn't just the men that had the purpose. It was the mothers that had the purpose. And so let's go ahead and start that. See, God created us not just to look different from one another, but he created some characteristics and traits, emotional traits, mental traits, things about us that are different from another person. But the thing that he did not, even though he created our brains, and I say it all the time, he created our brains for a reason, so we should have common sense on some things. Sometimes we forget to go there. But God created our brains not so he could stick something in there and go, you're going to think like me, you're going to do exactly what I say. No, what did he give us? Free will. He gave us free will. What a loving, wonderful God who said, I'm going to create man in my own image to be so beautiful and wonderful, but I'm going to allow him to make his own decisions and his own choices. And sometimes those choices can get us into trouble, and sometimes those choices can give us victory. So let's start with the first mother in the Bible, and that is Eve. Eve means life or life-giving or mother of all who have life. And her life is in us all. Now, the Bible, of course, talks about this subject of free will. Eve is a perfect example of that. So what did he do? He created a beautiful garden with animals for her and Adam to tend and take care of and grow. But it was beautiful. They got to enjoy this, the fruit of the land. But the only thing he said was, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is in the middle of the garden. You are not to touch that tree. Do not pick anything that grows from that tree. And so what happened? If you've been in church, you know the story. Eve went over, and even though she knew the truth, she was deceived by the devil, and she picked fruit from that tree. And she gave it to her husband, Adam. And then all of a sudden, sin entered the world. And they felt that at that point, they felt naked, they felt alone, they felt ashamed. She had free will, but she disobeyed. How many times do we try and tell our kids or as kids, you know, we want to make our own decisions, but our parents want us to obey as well, right? Just the other night, Peyton was, and it wasn't a major thing, but he was jumping up and down on our coffee table, which is extremely sturdy. But I kept telling him, get down, get down. You're going to break something, you're going to get hurt, get down. And sure enough, he jumped a little bit too close to the side and slipped off. Now, he was all right. I think he might have hurt a little bit, but he's one of those where if he knows he's done wrong and he gets hurt, he pretends that he did not get hurt, you know. But when we disobey, we get hurt. We suffer something. So this is what Eve did. So what can we learn from her? We need to obey God's voice. We don't just, you know, God put our parents, our mothers in our life for a reason. And, of course, we're all adults now. So, you know, it's a different thing. But we have to keep that in mind, that when God tells us to do something, we better listen to it. Amen. Let's move forward in the Bible, talk about Hagar. Does anybody remember who Hagar was? Hagar was Sarah's maidservant. And, you know, we'll talk about Sarah in a minute. But this woman, through, because Sarah said, Sarah was told that Abraham was going to be the father of many nations, right? And so the fact that she wasn't getting pregnant, Sarah was not conceiving, she decided to take matters into her own hands. Now, when God tells us something, does that mean that we're supposed to take matters into our own hands? No. No. So what happened was, she took matters into her own hands, and she said, she gave Hagar to Abraham. And Hagar conceived and birthed Ishmael. Now, you know, we don't talk as much about Ishmael, but the thing is this. Hagar prayed over him. Now, Hagar did get banished. I mean, Sarah sent her away, her and Ishmael, because Sarah was jealous. Sarah did not want to have anything to do with Hagar, did not want the reminder of Hagar and Ishmael being around. So she sent Hagar away. And the thing is, Hagar, even through all of that, and she thought she was going to die, she thought she was going to watch her son die, and she believed God, she prayed, and God still blessed her and blessed Ishmael. He gave him a nation. He was blessed. And the Bible says in Genesis 21, God was with the boy Ishmael as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. So even though she thought she would get a chance to escape her misery, God called her to return to it. And so she obeyed him, and he blessed her and her son as he promised he would. She endured even through the misery. When we do that, when we make a choice that even though we're going through pain, we're going through misery, we can obey God by enduring, standing strong, standing on the word of God, standing on his promises, and we'll see the blessings of God. Now, of course, let's talk about Sarah. I would say that most of us know who Sarah was, but, you know, I'm not going to obviously tell much of, you know, the before with Hagar and everything now, but any more of that story. But when Sarah was 90, an angel appeared to her and said, you're going to conceive. And what did she do? She laughed. Because, I'm like, she says, You know, in Genesis 21, 6 through 7, it says, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And she had Isaac. She became a mother to Isaac when she thought that she would not be a mother. She thought she had to take matters into her own hands and get Abraham other women to bear his children. But God blessed her. And what I love is that she laughed with joy at what the Lord had done. I mean, I love that. It's like, okay, God, all right, you found me out. And now I'm just going to laugh. Instead of stressing out over it, I'm going to laugh with joy because you've blessed me anyways. And so, of course, Isaac would go on to continue the legacy of his father Abraham. In Hebrews, it talks about, in Hebrews 11, talks about those that have gone before us. And there's a great cloud of witnesses in heaven. And there's so many wonderful people that are talked about. But Sarah is one of them. And in Hebrews 11, verses 11 through 12, it says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him, God, faithful, who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. We can learn from Sarah that we can believe God and be faithful to his word even when we feel like giving up, even when we feel like moving mountains ourselves. We can believe and have faith in God, and that is what Sarah did. Another mother in the Bible that, how many of you have heard about Jochebed? Seriously, is there anybody? Because I've heard of her, but when I read, seriously, nobody knows who she is? Okay, so you're just shaking your heads, yes. Okay, Jochebed was a mother who had a plan. And the plan she had was she was in Egypt, and she was a Hebrew, and there was a new king of Egypt, Pharaoh, who was very jealous that the Israelites were, there were more of them than Egyptians. And so what he decided to do was, let's fix this and let's kill all of the baby boys. And so Jochebed had a baby boy, and she tried to hide him for 3 months, and she realized at 3 months she could not do it anymore. And so what did she do? She put her baby Moses into a basket, into the Nile. And as children growing up in church, I can picture the, how many of you were in Sunday school when you were a child? And you remember the felt characters that they'd put on a board, a felt board? I can just see the different pictures of Moses floating through the Nile. And so this is what she did. She put her child in a basket. Now, I can't imagine doing that. I mean, and oh, here you go, float away. But she had so much faith that he would be safe and that he would not experience what the other Hebrew children were experiencing. And so he floated away, and where did he arrive? He arrived at Pharaoh's home, and Pharaoh's daughter found him and then raised him as her own. And the cool thing is, she needed somebody to come and nurse him and feed him and help raise him. And so Miriam, Moses's sister, there's a lot of parts to this, sent for her mother Jochebed, and Jochebed came and was able to take care of Moses until a certain age. But Moses, how many of us know what his plan was? God had a plan for Moses. And though it's a long story, 40 years in the desert, he had to lead the Israelites. And they griped and they complained. But God had a plan for Moses, which means he had a plan for Jochebed. And she followed through with the plan. I don't even know if God had said to her, do this. I think she, you know, might have been moved by the Holy Spirit. But she had a plan. And she knew that if she followed through this plan, her son was going to go on. He was going to be saved. And he was going to do something great. And that's exactly what he did. He freed the Israelites out of Egyptian slavery. And, you know, we can talk about Moses all day long. Some other mothers in the Bible I'm just going to touch on this one. Naomi. Naomi was the mother-in-law of Ruth. Now, Naomi went through a lot of grief herself because she lost her husband and her sons. And Ruth had been married to one of her sons. And so they were both grieving. And Naomi had told Ruth, go and live your life. You don't need to be around me anymore. Just go. And Ruth said, no, I want to follow after you. And what wound up happening was Ruth was able to meet Boaz. Now, here's the cool thing. Naomi was the, Ruth had Obed, okay? Follow with me, because again, it's a long line. So Naomi is the mother-in-law of Ruth, right? And Naomi took Ruth as her own. And so Ruth married Boaz and had Obed. Now, Obed had Jesse. And who did Jesse have? David. Again, a purpose. Naomi had a purpose. Yes, she followed after what God told her to do. She stayed faithful through her hurt and her grieving. But God had a great plan through her. God had a great plan for Ruth. So let's move on to another one. How many of you heard about Hannah? Who knows who Hannah is? Hannah is classified in my notes as the mother who kept her promise. Hannah had been married to a man who loved her so much, but she was not able to conceive. And so he had married somebody else. Now, I'm so glad that we don't live like this, that our husbands have one wife and that's us. Back then, they had several wives. It's crazy. I guess because they wanted a lot of kids. So Hannah, though, was married to this man that loved her. And when he married another woman, the other woman was able to conceive. And so what this other woman did was she kind of taunted Hannah with this. She's carrying this child, a child. And it hurt. It grieved Hannah. But here's the thing. Hannah went to God, and she prayed. And in 1 Samuel 1:8, it says, Hannah prayed to the Lord, and she wept bitterly. She made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. So she had Samuel, right? You know Samuel, what Samuel did? What did Samuel do? He anointed King David. Hannah is the man, is the woman. She vowed that she would keep her promise, and she did. She knew that her child had a purpose. She knew that there was something that would change for the world. And that's exactly what happened. Now, when it comes to believing God for children, I can attest to that story. Because there was a time, and most of you have heard our story, our testimony. But when it comes to praying and believing and grieving and crying, I've been there. I've done that in my life. Because when Brent and I first got married, we waited 2-3 years, and then we decided that we wanted to try and have children, and it wasn't working. We tried to have children. We tried several different ways, and it wasn't working. And so we decided to go through in vitro fertilization. And so what we did that. And so this one year, we went and we started the process of in vitro. And I will tell you this. If anybody's experienced any of this, it was one of my favorite years of my life because I felt so good. Because when you go through all of this, you have a lot of hormones that they give you. And I was happy and I felt healthy. It was great. But the reason I was doing it was to get a child. And so our first round of in vitro, when I went to the doctor to get the pregnancy test, they said, well, it's a positive, but it's a low positive. So the whole time I'd been spending time in the Word, getting on my knees and praying and believing and asking God for this all to not just asking, but believing and speaking faith over my womb, speaking faith over the situation. And just every day, all the time, hour after hour, I was believing that this pregnancy would continue. And after 3 weeks of going back and getting, well, it's positive, but it's a low positive, they finally said, it's negative now. I'm sorry. So after going through that, that was devastating, but I knew we had more that we could try. And so about 3 months later, we tried again. And this time, it was a negative, right, at first. When they did the test, it was a negative. And at that time, that's when you go, why? I mean, I didn't think that I would be somebody that couldn't have her own children. And it was devastating. And so the immediate reaction, now, how many of you, especially you wives, how many of your husbands want to just fix the problem right away? And that's exactly what Brent did. He started researching adoption, international adoption, any kind of adoption, that day when we found out. And I said to him, I can't do this right now and look for you to adopt because I don't want to do it just to satisfy a desire I have. I want to do it for the child. And so, you know, we waited a little bit and flash forward about 6-7 months. And at the time, Brent was working at Rhema Bible Church, Rhema Bible Training College, and they had a graduation. And one of the students that he taught was getting ready to, at the rehearsal of the graduation, was getting ready to walk across the stage. And he said to her, so what are you going to do when you graduate? And she said, well, I'm going back home and I'm working at the crisis pregnancy center that my church has. And so he said, well, when you get settled, get in contact with us because we would be interested in adopting. And so I think it was 3 months later, she called and said, we've got a mom here who's pregnant. And would you be interested? Are you still interested? Of course we are. So we sent our information to her to review and to approve. And sure enough, we got approved. And there's a waiting process here. There's something we had gone through, and there were questions. There were things that we had to do. We had to get home checks with a social worker. We had to do a lot of things. And there were things that we had to do to prepare for our child that was going to be adopted. And to be honest with you, they would even, our lawyer would say, now, she could change her mind at the last minute. But you know what? We prayed, we believed, we stood. And on February 19th, I became a mother to my Preston. And I have said over and over again, if I had to do all of it, the in vitro, the pain, everything over again to get my child, I would do it over. And so what happened at that moment was we did get faced with the possibility that we may not be able to keep him. And I won't go into that whole story, but we had hundreds and hundreds of people praying for us all over the world. We were in Litchfield, Illinois, in a small little hospital, and we were praying, and we had people all over the planet praying for us and praying for this situation. And they didn't all even know every single detail, but they knew to pray. And so we stood on our faith, and that child is ours. And I would hold him in that hospital room, and Brent would be pacing the floor out in the hallway, and I would sing, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word." and I would sing it over him. And I sang that song with a few other songs when I would rock him and Peyton to sleep. Now, 4 years later, we were faced with, we tried to have a baby, and that wasn't working. And so 4 years later, we adopted Peyton. And that could have been a situation where it could have been rocky as well. But God has blessed us, and I wouldn't change it. And so when we talk about the mothers in the Bible who have had to stand and to pray and believe for their children, I understand. And some of you understand being moms. Some of you understand being dads. Some of you understand being somebody that has things that you've invested your life into. That when you have got, you've got to sacrifice something. You have to sacrifice and you have to be on your knees. If you've got a business that you want to see successful, you have to sacrifice. You want to plant a church, you got to sacrifice. But you have to believe and you have to have faith. And you have to apply the word of God to everything that you are believing for. So let's move on to Mary. Now, a lot of times we look at Mary and we're like, well, yeah, she was the mother of Jesus. But imagine, if you will, the responsibilities we have every day that we have to, whether it's with our children, whatever our responsibility might be, not just going to work, but whatever it could be, choices that we make. Mary was told by an angel, you are going to have the Savior of the world. You're going to give birth to the Savior of the world. And here's the thing. God entrusted her to raise him right. We're raising our own children. She had to raise the Savior of the world. Imagine that. How great. I mean, she could have stressed out like crazy, you know, thinking, oh my gosh, if he goes running over there, somebody could take him and then he could die. No, she trusted God to help her raise this child. And she spent time. Now, when the angel of the Lord said to her, you're going to bear the Savior of the world, she said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Something else Mary did is she believed when no one else did. She believed in her son when no one else did. Now, as moms, we believe in our child. No matter what, we may know that they did the wrong thing. But if somebody tries to come over and say, your child did this, Mama Bear raises up. Right? You are not about to say this about my child. I may give him a whipping when I get home, but you are not allowed to say anything. We've been in that situation before. But she believed. Now, I believe she even believed in him when he might not have even believed. Because the first miracle took place in Cana, and it was at a wedding. And there was no wine left at the party. And so Mary turned to Jesus and said, do something about this, like a great Jewish mother would do. And he said, my time has not yet come, right? But I think Mary was like, okay, but he's going to do something anyway, because I believe in this child. And so she turned to the servants and she said, whatever he tells you to do, you do. I'm just, you know, just do it. And what happened? The water turned into wine. And it wound up being the best wine at the party. So Mary had faith in action about Jesus. And her faith activated the entire thing for us so that we can live free, so that we can experience eternal life through her son. So how many times are we faced with you know, doubts and stuff? As moms, as dads, we need to encourage our children. And we need to allow our mothers to encourage us as well. Believe in our children and allow them to build us up. The thing that's so hard to imagine is that 33 years after Jesus was born, she had to watch him die on a cross. She watched him up there. I mean, imagine how you feel when your child's hurt, when their heart is broken. Imagine how you feel when a loved one of yours is hurting and aching. Imagine how you feel if you lose a loved one. Just imagine watching Jesus die on the cross. And though she knew the purpose that Jesus had, and she knew her purpose, she knew why she was on this earth, it still hurts. It still hurt. But she knew, and she trusted. She trusted God that everything was going to be all right. To the point that she took the man next to him, John, and took him, the Bible says, took him as her own son as well. Right there at the cross, I imagine that. I can see the two of them standing there. And Jesus is like, behold your son. And so she took him, even though she was watching him die. Listen, there are times in our life where we, even at my age of 48, almost 49, where I want my mommy. I want my mommy to hold me. I want my mommy to tell me everything's going to be all right or talk me through a situation. We want that. And some of us don't have that. Some of us don't have our moms to wrap their arms around us. Some of us have lost them. Some of us have been estranged from their mom. But let me tell you, you've got a Heavenly Father that in your dark hours, he's going to hold you. In our lives when we are hurting and we're facing tough decisions and we're facing trials and challenges, he will strengthen us and lift us up. As mothers, we get on our knees and we believe for our children and we pray for our children and we know they have a purpose. Let me tell you, when my children were born, I knew, and we all know that our children have a purpose. But I've always believed my children are going to do some mighty things for God, because that's why we struggled to get there. And it took so long to get there. It's because there's a purpose. And God knows it. I don't always know it. God knows the purpose. God knows the purpose that you have before you even know your own purpose. If you're seeking things, and seek God's word. Seek his heart. You know, we want, as moms, we have, there's that terminology, a mother's heart goes really for their children and believes, even when it seems like, you know, the kids aren't listening and they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. We are believing for the best for our children. Even when we fail. The other night, I got upset with my kids, and I sent them to bed, didn't, you know, kiss them goodnight. And I went, I was just at my limit. And I went and I said, I repented before the Lord. And I cried out to him, and I said, God, help me. I repent before you. And the next morning, first thing I did, before even getting out of the bed, I opened up the Word, and I read the Word. And I allowed his word to bathe me. And that morning was so smooth and beautiful. It was wonderful. Got in the car, drove the kids to school, and did a devotion with them. Because God said, I'm here at your darkest moments. I'm here when you're struggling. I'm here when you've lost somebody. I'm here. I'm going to hold you. So if you don't have your mother, I'm still here. So we can learn from all of these mothers in the Bible. We can learn how to have faith and how to believe. We want to just focus our eyes on God and go back to some of these scriptures. Psalm 139 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." And then Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Today, if you're facing some things in your life where you feel hopeless, maybe you've been in pain for so long that you just don't think that experiencing a life free of pain is even for you. Let me tell you, God's got a plan, a hope for you. Grab a hold of that. Keep on believing. Keep on walking out that faith. Keep on getting that Bible, getting the Word, and see what His promises are for you. And realize that when God created you, He didn't make an accident. He created you with a purpose in mind. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and bow your heads. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, we praise you today, and we thank you, God, for sending us mothers who love us and raise us and pray for us, Father. We thank you, Jesus, that even if we're not raised with mothers that believed in you, God, we're here. We're here for a purpose.